Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversation, featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, with a gold standard lineup of music on hand, is Daniel Britt.
Well, this week, my spotlight is on the great songwriter, the songwriting skills of Kyla Rowland. Kyla, thanks for joining us here.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to be here.
How long, well, I guess I could look at the history. 60s, 70s, what was the first song, Landing Lights, was that one of the first songs that you had recorded?
Actually, I had a few before Landing Lights. He Will Row You Over the Tide in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
That was back in the days that songwriters loved to recall, because if you had a hit song, all the major groups recorded it, and we loved that. But it has since changed tremendously. But He Will Row You Over the Tide was really the first song I actually ever wrote, and it was my first hit. It has been enduring over these 35 or whatever years it's been.
Sure. And I know that you're talking about how all the groups, you'd have a song, and it seemed like everybody would record it, and sometimes even it would chart with several different groups, maybe even at the same time, it seems like. Who all recorded that one?
Well, the Cooks, the Kingsmen, the Inspirations, and I can't think of all of them, but anyway.
And in this day, they re-record them as old-time favorite.
When Stephen was accused, lonely and bewildered, no one that day would stand.
That was the first song you really wrote, and it became an instant hit. Did you have to put a lot of effort into it, being that it was your first song?
No, I think God Himself wanted a precedent set.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you will write songs. And it's through my power, and it's through the Holy Spirit's inspiration. Honestly, I have written 4 songs over my career. Out of 2,000 songs, I have written 4, that I had absolutely nothing to do with. Yeah. That God wrote even the commas, the semicolons,
yeah,
and He Will Row You Over the Tide was that's one of those songs.
Wow. You have written over 2,000 songs?
Yes.
Does it must just come easy to you?
Well, it's I know that it's a gift. I know that it's a calling, but I believe most songwriters will tell you who do it every day that it is a compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
You have no choice.
Yeah.
You have to write. And that's how you know that you have the gift, when you just have to write. And then they are accepted, and they help people. They make people cry. They make people rejoice.
Sure.
You know that this is what God has chosen for you. I would like to be a piano player like Anthony Berger. I would like to sing like Tyrande Green or Kim Hopper.
Yeah.
But I don't have those gifts. I am a songwriter.
Do you strictly write the lyrics?
No, I write the words and the lyrics and the music.
So are you attached at the hip to a notepad or a tape recorder to...
Always.
To jot that down or to record a melody that comes to you?
Always. I never go anywhere without a little recorder and a notepad.
Landing Lights, that was on the Goodman album... Better Hurry Up, right?
It was, and that was a an historical album because that's the last album they did with all the originals.
Yeah.
And so I was just glad, just gratified to get a song on that particular album.
In those days when they chose your song, how did that process work? Did you submit it to some sort of an agency and then... You kind of were out of the picture. There was a middleman, and then they took it to the groups. Or did you deal directly with the Goodmans and the Cooks and the Inspirations and the Kingsmen?
Well, I started out, Donnie Sumner, J.D.'s nephew, some people would have to have him identified. People in the music business would not. He actually gave me my start. He was doing a demo for me. He didn't know me from Adam. I barely knew his name. This was in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a little studio on 16th Avenue South in Nashville to do a little demo.
Yeah.
It was at night, and he told me that I didn't need to do that. He said, you meet me here at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I will take you to meet some people. So he did, and he took me to Word.
Yeah.
And I was with Word for years and years. And that was the days when Happy Goodman Family, Rex Nealon, Winnie Bagwell and Sunlighter, Inspirations, Cathedrals, everybody was with Word. So it was easy to get a song cut.
There was a partnership, too, or a subsidiary. Was it Canaan Records? Was that?
Oh, yes. That was the Southern Gospel division for them. But Landing Lights got cut because I was there on some sort of business in the Word office.
Uh-huh.
And Rusty Goodman was there, and I just happened to pass him by. And he said, are you writing any good songs? And I said, well, I'm writing. I don't know how good they are. But I said, I do have one called Landing Lights that you might be interested in.
Sure.
And Rex Nealon had it on hold at the time. But Rusty Goodman and the Happy Goodman Family ultimately did it. And isn't that just passed him in the hall?
Yeah, yeah. Seems like a lot of that kind of happens to us by chance or by accident or just a meeting that you didn't plan, but sometimes it works out in amazing ways.
Well, I call it divine providence.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was a child, my mama taught me things. She told me of the joys a good life would bring. She said there's only one who can save your soul. He'll shine a light in glory, and you can find your way home. And the landing lights are shining.
We're talking today to Kyla Rowland on Daniel Britton Friends. Don't forget that you can listen to today's interview again online at danielbritt.com. That's danielbritt.com. Now, let's go back to our conversation.
Do you think music theory, and we talked to Ben Spear about his school of music and the rudiments of music, is that necessary for someone who is going to write music?
Certainly it is a help.
Yeah.
It really is a help. Necessary? I don't think it's necessary. I think if God has anointed you to do what you do, I believe that you'll have the same gift Elijah had on Mount Carmel.
Yeah.
As far as we know, I mean, he just burst on the scene out of the wilderness, out of the desert. But as far as we know, he was uneducated and he had no credentials that we read of. Yet, he prayed down fire from heaven when 450 prophets of Baal could not. And they were very practiced at praying down fire. So, yes, it would help. And I wish I had studied it. But necessary, no.
Tell me about their Rosa Lamb. How did that one come about? Some songwriters say, I've heard Bill Gaither talk about hooks. We heard a sermon and it had this hook in it, and we thought there should be a song around that. Does that ever happen to you, and did it happen with that particular
song?
Well,
actually, that's exactly the way it happened. Most of my songs come through storms.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could write a happy song. I hope all of them are happy and encouraging.
Yeah.
But at the same time, rarely does a song come to me just from a little hook line. But this one did. And the little girl who was singing with us at the time in the studio was just chanting these little words, "There rose a lamb in Jerusalem." And she had heard it from a preacher or somewhere. And I said, "Well, what are you chanting?" She said, "Well, there rose a lamb in Jerusalem. I heard it somewhere." And it was just like a broken record.
Yeah.
It would not leave my mind. But then later on, when I was quiet, I just saw the whole scene. I saw the whole scene.
Mm-hmm.
I saw everything that happened. And so I wrote what had happened to Jesus during that time. But then I sent it to Ivan Parker, who was with Gold City at the time. He was gathering material for them.
Yeah.
And he wrote me back, or called me back, and said, Kyla, I like that Rosa Lamb, but the third verse does nothing for me. Can you rewrite it? Oh, sure. I can rewrite it. I'll get right on that. I'll have it tomorrow. Well, that was big talk.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I wanted a Gold City cut, and I was just going to do whatever it took. Well, I sat in my recliner, and I thought, and I thought, and I thought. Nothing would come, and I knew that I had writer's block. Nothing
yeah.
was coming.
Yeah.
All day into the night, I would stretch out on the couch. I would get in the recliner. I would pace.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So finally, when I was physically and mentally and emotionally really exhausted,
yeah, I bet.
I just began to cry out to God, and I said, God, how can I write this last verse? I wasn't there when they laid you in the tomb. And I wasn't there when you stepped out from behind the stone. All I know is I was there when you rose in my heart.
Mm.
And, you know, you have those electric moments.
Sure.
Thank you.
This is Daniel Britton Friends with my guest today, songwriter Kyla Rowland. Now, back to the conversation.
Have you ever written a song? You thought, well, it's an okay song, and then you give it, or a group records it, and they do something with the song that goes even beyond your expectations.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. That's a standard for a songwriter. Mm-hmm. You think it's pretty good, and then a really talented, anointed group records it, and you'll say, did I write that? That is so beautiful.
Does it happen often that you hear it one way, maybe a different rhythm or a different tempo, and somebody records it in a totally 180 degree turn somewhere else?
Oh, sure, sure. And I'm not one of those writers that say, you can't change a word, you can't change the tempo. Listen, it is your song. If I contract you, or Daywind, whom I'm with now, if they contract you to sing that song, you can sing it to suit yourself. And that happens very often, but I'm always glad because usually they make it better than I had it originally.
I can tell you I'm nothing, and I will be telling the truth. I can say I am worthless, a hopeless sinner, that's true. But that's just part of the story. I haven't told everything. I was lost, reborn, and raised a child of the King. I am a royal descendant of a king from Jerusalem. I'm a part of the bloodline of David. That's who I am. I am, and I claim it bread to Isaac, to Jacob, and Abraham. Royal descendant of a king from Jerusalem. How in this world can I stand and say such a thing? To say I am royal and claim that my father's a king. I'll have to take you to an altar where it happened many years ago. This king, I was washed in his blood, and that's all that I know.
I am a royal descendant of a king from Jerusalem.
I'm a part of the bloodline of David.
in the late 90s, I remember the McCamies had a song, Wall of Prayer.
Yes.
And I remember talking to Peg about that and remember hearing the stories, what they were doing with that song, I think over in the Middle East. Tell me about that whole process, that whole song, because I still think that's one of the most special songs in gospel music.
My son, Barry, we called him Bubba, and he was the inspiration for a lot of my songs. Like One Scarred Hand, mm-hmm. he was the inspiration yeah. behind that. But he was gone from home for 4 years when he was young. He left when he was barely 18. He was gone for 4 years. I didn't know where he was. He was just wanted to have his own way, and he wanted his way to be a life of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately he did come home. But 2 years after he came home, he said, Mama, do you remember all those years I was gone and I was so deep in sin? I said, yes, vaguely, I remember that. And he said, did I ever tell you what brought me home? And I said, no, you haven't. So I was very still because I knew he was going to tell me something, which boys have a hard time talking to their moms.
Sure.
He said, I had gone so deep into sin and drugs, alcohol, so forth, had taken me physically so low that you could count every rib in my body. And he said, I knew that I couldn't last much longer. But he said, I got up one morning and I fell out of bed because I was too weak to get stand up. And he said, I crawled to the couch and I laid down and covered up with coats and sweaters because I was so cold. And he said, I first began to ask God to take me home because I couldn't stand the guilt anymore. I just couldn't stand it. And he said, Lord, if you take me home, I know I'm saved. If you'll take me home, then my mama can have some peace. But then he changed his prayer. He said, no, Lord, if you want me to live, I'll do my best to serve you. And he said, about that time, I began to hear voices. And he said, I lived in a little roach-infested apartment. And I looked at my watch. It was 10 o'clock in the morning, and there was no one going to work. I didn't know who it was. But as the voices came clear, it was a chorus of women, and they were praying. And the Holy Spirit, geography does not limit the Holy Spirit.
Right. Huh.
And he heard those prayers. And I can name the women who prayed for my son.
Yeah.
Who built a wall around him in sure. my behalf.
Yeah.
And from that day forward, he came home. He tried to get himself in a little bit better shape before I saw him. But then after he told me that story, it was the easiest thing I ever did to sit down and write Wall of Prayer.
There are walls made by man, built by frail and human hands, that an enemy can scale and get to you. But there is one protecting me from my greatest enemy. It's a Surround.
tell me the thing the McCameys did with the Wailing Wall. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. And they carried it with them. And I'm sure that was hard to carry. It was cumbersome, but they were so faithful to do that. Mm-hmm. And the answers to prayers that they have gotten through personal testimony, emails, telephone calls, mm-hmm. it has been absolutely amazing. Men, especially, I mean, criminals.
Yeah, yeah.
Their names were put on that wall, and miracles of healing.
They collected prayer requests and took them over.
The name of your prayer request was put on the wall.
Yeah.
And they carried it everywhere. And they would have special prayers in their concerts for those names on that wall of prayer.
There's so many great songs that you've written. I printed out a list here of some of the credits that were on your website. We see He Will Roll You Over the Tide in 75. We've got Wedding Invitation in 1980. Then we skip up to the 90s and we come all the way through today. What went on between He'll Roll You Over the Tide and say, One Scarred Hand in 92 and along the same time, There Rose a Lamb with Gold City? Between that span of 75 and the early 90s, were you writing songs at that time as well?
I was writing that songs, but at that time I was taking care of my mom. She was an invalid, and I was—I had two children, mm-hmm. still like high school and college, and so I did have some cuts during that time, but nothing as big as is given in that space, like
sure.
Wedding Invitation or There Rose a Lamb. And so I was very busy. But what I was doing, what God was doing with me, was collecting material.
Hmm.
And my mother has been my greatest inspiration. I had to write a book about how she just totally inspired about 90% of my songs.
Mm-hmm.
Invitation.
With Kyla Roland, our special guest today on Daniel Britton Friends. Kyla is a songwriter and you know her music. We're hearing clips today from a tribute to Kyla Roland, which was a collaborative effort of various Southern gospel artists who paid tribute and honored to some of Kyla's greatest songs.
Tell me about the song God Handled It All by Gold City. I think they have recorded two different songs by that same title. At least in my knowledge, I think this. The one in 2003 was the upbeat song, right? God Handled It All.
Oh, well, now that is a happier song.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a really stormy story behind that. My brother is a Bible scholar, mm-hmm. I would say. And I was on the road with him for many years singing. And he would teach. He has teaching revivals. And he would teach on Genesis, how God was preparing to handle redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would teach about Jesus in Matthew when we were first introduced to him and how he was going to handle the cross, how he was about to handle his resurrection. And it took, a year or two of these teachings. When my brother Ron gets on the subject, it's about a 3-year study. But I condensed it into 12 lines. And I thought, he just keeps saying God was going to handle it. Jesus was preparing to handle it. And when he rose from the tomb, he pretty well handled it all. That was a happy song.
Has that been one of the most recent cuts that Gold City has recorded of yours?
It is. Yes, it
is. And that, is it fair to say that history with Gold City and you goes back to 1992?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sinful man in need of redemption, hopeless, helpless, sinner lost. But the Alpha and Omega brought the answer to us.
Mine, hallelujah, to His love, be loving me.
putting our spotlight not on an artist necessarily, but on a songwriter. And she is an artist in her own right. It is an art form to be able to marry lyrics with great melodies like she has done throughout the years. And we're talking to Kyla Rowland today throughout the program and listening to clips from, well, most of them, from a tribute to Kyla Rowland, a collaborative effort from various Southern gospel artists paying tribute and honor to some of her greatest songs. Now, let's go back to our conversation.
The Perrys, I think they will continue for a long time to be, in a way, defined or carry as one of their signature songs, Still Blessed. I mean, that was, wasn't the name of their project, and they titled it Still Blessed?
Mm-hmm.
And I know there was a single, and I think that's become kind of a tagline for the group. How does that make you feel to know not only that a group like the Perrys or Gold City, a big name group, has recorded your song, but so much so that it becomes such a part of their group like that?
Very small.
Yeah.
But I know who I am.
Yeah.
I am a sinner saved by grace. Yeah. I was born and raised in a coal mining town up in Upper East Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that God could take something that I would write and carry it to the hearts of so many people. How do you thank God for those things?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how to feel except just grateful and so glad that I had some little part in lifting him up.
Are you a solo songwriter or have you collaborated with some others?
I've never collaborated until I came with Daywind about maybe 6 years ago. I am now 61 years old and my memory's not what it used to be. But I have begun to collaborate, and actually at the National Quartet Convention this year, 2006, a collaborator and I got to hear a single debuted, and that was exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
That was new for me.
So a group has recorded this
yes.
song?
Yes. The Pipers recorded Fighting On,
yeah.
And it's the title song of their album. And Diane Wilkinson and I. And is that a match made in heaven?
Wow.
We're both the same age. She wrote, We Shall See Jesus, the
yes.
cathedrals.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah. It has been a beautiful collaboration. And so we got to hear Fighting On the first time it was sung at the National Quartet Convention. And it just blew me away.
By the Pipers.
By the Pipers. Yeah. Yes, yeah. It was beautiful.
Tell me about 2004, and I'm sure this is one of many awards and recognitions that you have received. And songwriters, a lot of times, I think maybe they kind of get brushed behind the scenes. You're not on the stage. You're not singing your song. Somebody else is doing that. So it's nice to be honored, I would imagine, and recognized, like in 2004 with the Master Composer Award?
Yes.
Quartet Convention?
Well, that was a total surprise, and
yeah.
Phil Cross has done more for Southern gospel songwriters, I guess because he is such a great songwriter himself.
Sure.
And he knows the plight of songwriters, which I like behind the scenes. That's where I belong, where I want to be. But he has made the general fan a lot more aware of who songwriters are. And so it's just, it was an award for a life's work, and that was a beautiful day for me.
You are now contracted by Daywind to write music. I've heard that there are some of the negatives that I've heard about record labels is that, for instance, in songwriting, maybe they put pressure on you to write when you're not ready to write. Have you found that to be a challenge for you, or are you always ready to write?
Well, I've never felt any inkling of that at all. I was with Word for over 10 years. I forget how long, but many, many years. Mm-hmm. I never felt that from them. And I've been with Daywind now 4 or 5 years. I've never felt that from them. No pressure whatsoever to produce.
Mm-hmm.
So that has not been an issue, but I do know that there are companies that do pressure to
sure.
produce.
Sure. Behind the scenes in the business world, when you write a song, if you're with a record label like Daywind or with Word, they're responsible for getting it copywritten and published as music and then sending it to their artists, or?
That's exactly right. The business end is over for you.
Yeah.
Once you sign a writer's contract, 100% writer's contract,
mm-hmm.
then you have nothing else to do with the business end of it, which has its, it has its perks. It has its ups.
Yeah.
One of the most interesting stories, I know that you have heard stories like this, the song that was passed by.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I sent a little song called Safe Thus Far to Connie Hopper.
Uh-huh.
And it was just me and my piano. Now, that was a bad demo. But the song for me was so deeply moving.
Yeah.
It was one of those special songs. Not every song moves me personally, but that one came from the lowest part of my soul.
Mm-hmm.
So, Connie, it again, is the same age of me, and I thought, well, she will feel what I do. And she liked it, but she sort of let it go by the wayside. Well, mm-hmm. ultimately, you know, the Hoskins family recorded it.
Right.
Well, she has apologized to me 2 or 3 times, which, you know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
That it happens all the time.
Yeah.
But I MC the Diamond Awards at NQC, and so they performed last year, and Connie said, I just want to tell Kyla publicly that if she ever sends me another song like Safe Thus Far, I will not overlook it.
And you've really, through all the songs that you've written that have been so successful, do you find that you have to be careful what you do submit? Because people recognize such the talent in you. Do you ever feel like maybe, well, this one may not be the best song, and if they see that it's got Kyla Rowland's name on it, they're going to record it, and if it's not my best work, they're going to be disappointed?
I pretty well submit the song, and Day Wynn may call me and ask me, what do you think about this group or that group with this song? And if they're willing to cut it, I just let the chips kind of fall where they may.
Yeah.
Because God has just, He oversees my songwriting career. And everything He has done has been so perfect, I don't second guess Him. God,
sure.
Whatever you want, I'm happy.
And you have 2 children, is that right?
Yes.
Allison and Barry.
Uh-huh.
Growing up, and even now, do they ever tease you about watching what they say around you? Because it might turn up in a song somewhere?
Oh, yes, they do. And those little children, they grew up on this premise. Well, we didn't have a lot of money. I mean, we were just, you know, just working people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they grew up with this statement rotating in their little hearts and their minds all the time. When they needed new athletic shoes, or Allison needed a new prom dress, it was always, now when Mama gets her royalty check.
Yeah.
So they grew up looking forward to those royalty checks every quarter as much as I did.
Sure. Is that kind of, is there a way, maybe now with new technology, to keep up specifically with what to expect, or is it a surprise every quarter when those checks come to see how much airplay you've been receiving?
Well, I probably have a different philosophy about those things than most. I'm not a business person.
Mm-hmm.
I have never looked at a royalty statement.
Mm-hmm.
I have never looked at a BMI statement.
Mm-hmm.
I do cash the check. I do deposit the check in the bank.
Yeah.
But again, this is God's business. I mean, the song is going to do what it's going to do.
Yeah.
And why should I trouble my mind, which is small? I just keep my mind open for writing. I am a writer. I write constantly. And I do not. And I have a secretary whom I've had for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have to do any of those things.
Yeah.
But there is a way that you can sort of
follow the trends,
yes.
If there was a song that you didn't write that you wished you had written, what would it be?
Oh, I know the answer to that very quickly. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind.
Yeah. And the Florida Boys, they were one of the first to record that?
Yes, yes.
And who wrote that?
Ronnie Henson and I believe Jeff Steele.
Have you ever written a song that that took off or was recorded in a different style? Maybe a little more contemporary or a little more inspirational?
Well, yes, I have. But I've had songs that went the other way as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. So there was a total change in feel and texture and rhythm.
Yeah.
Wedding Invitation, for instance, was a huge ballad.
Yeah.
A big orchestration. I mean, that's how the song was written and meant to be recorded.
Mm-hmm.
But the inspirations and I, Archie especially, and I have a difference of opinion how that song came. We were both with Word at the time,
Canaan.
And he said, I say they heard it through a closed door, and I was just singing it to somebody there, just fooling around with the piano. They say I came to Bryson City, which I did make some trips to Bryson City.
Sure.
So however it came about, when they recorded it, they recorded it inspiration style.
Yeah.
But how do you argue with success?
Right.
It was a top five song, nominated for Song of the Year. And I don't believe it could have been done any better. I believe God wanted them to do it.
How can we keep up to date? And I want to mention that the Tribute Project in 2001. Give me some of the artists who collaborated and whose songs were on there.
The Crab Family, Ivan Parker, Kirk Talley, and Janet Pascal.
Were they all singing the song, the hit songs that they had recorded of yours, respectively?
No, no. They were sent a list of songs that they would like to do. And they chose the song, Anthony Berger.
Oh, okay. They chose their favorite.
Yes.
Okay.
Anthony Berger chose to play their Rosa Lamb.
Yeah.
And Ivan chose to sing Landing Lights.
Okay.
And the Crab Family chose to do He's Still on the Throne.
Yeah.
So they got to pick and choose what they wanted to do. The Wisnets. And you know what? These groups went to a great deal of trouble mm-hmm. to record mm-hmm. these songs. And they did it all gratis.
Wow.
Now, if you don't think that will make you feel just about as small as you could possibly get.
Yeah. Was that a surprise to you?
It was a surprise.
Who was behind that? Who was that
Shane Farrell with Lighthouse Promotions did it. And what a joy that has been.
A sinner now saved, blood washed by a lamb. My brother's a king, the son of I am. And sometimes I forget.
I did want to ask you about the your website or ways we can stay in touch with you. You do have your own group.
Yes.
Right? And you guys travel full time?
Yes, we are full time, but my ministry is about 60% speaking at ladies' conferences and 40% singing. And my website is KylaRowland.com, and our schedule is always on there. I would appreciate a visit. Y'all come and see me.
Great. And your current group is named Deliverance.
Yes.
Did you used to go under a billing as the Rowlands?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
And my brother still does.
Yeah.
Yes, I just left the road. I had to leave the road to take care of my mother. So, yes, oh, yeah, he still travels as the Rowlands.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for doing this, and you'll keep writing, and we'll keep playing them.
Well, that sounds good, Daniel. You're just a sweetie pie.
Thanks so much.
Just as cute as a button.
We appreciate this.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.